But here we see a famine in the land. That's, again, that's the title of my message. And so this is talking about here in Israel that they are having a spiritual famine. Didn't say that it was a famine of bread or a famine of thirst. It's a famine because they can't have the Word of God anymore. And as much as you may think back about, man, I was hungry that time. Man, I was really thirsty. Man, my mouth was really dry. But that same desire you had for water or for food, do you have that same desire for God's Word? I think today in America we have a famine of God's Word. I think we have a spiritual famine going on in America. Think about all the resources we have to have God's Word. I mean, from this pulpit, three times a week, you can come and hear preaching from the Word of God. We have Sunday school classes for children, for teens, and for adults. And you get to see teaching every single Sunday morning from God's Word. But do we value it? Do we take it for granted? You know, I think about, you know, there was a day that you could hear good, godly programs on the radio. That's few and far between. There was a day that you could have good things on TV. That's a struggle nowadays. You know, nowadays with the technology, the internet, you can find some good godly music and godly preaching, whether it's through podcasts or internet radio. You know, I think about the various books. Pastors warned us, if you go to the so-called Christian bookstore here in town, you've got to really look hard and scrutinize whether it's even Christian or if it's going to teach you some false doctrine. But there used to be a day where you'd have books all within arm's reach, no shortage of good material to study God's Word. Consider the average American home has seven Bibles in it. Counting the Bible I'm preaching out of and all these right here, that's 14 Bibles. But you know what? All of these Bibles don't do me a bit of good if I don't read it, memorize it, study it, love it, obey it. I can be twice the Christian maybe, right? Because I have twice the number of Bibles. But I could be as backslidden, as carnal as the world could be. Because just the volume of having Bibles in your home doesn't make you more spiritual. You may have a famine in your own home. We have no lack of Bibles. Understand that 96% of Americans live within 2 miles of a church. 96% of Americans. There are some towns, some cities, there's a church literally on every corner. But why is it that we have a famine in the land? I believe this famine is every bit as destructive as any famine we saw pictures of. Not all of those pictures were in Africa. Some were in other places in the world. Slowly, this famine is eating away at the very fabric of our country. For the older generation here, you know, there used to be a time when you'd have prayer in school, wasn't there? There was a time that you could stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance, but now that's taken out because it has God's name in it. My wife substitutes in USD 501, and I can tell you there's nothing godly about Topeka City Schools. And I'm imagining most any other school district. My wife, she's got 2 years of experience substituting in there. And it is basically like, she's like watching the inmates sometimes. Literally, she's had students that she has substituted in one school, and then because of their behavior, they get demoted down to a place that's one step before juvenile delinquency. My wife has actually had students say that their goal is to stay out of juvie. That's their goal in life. Because that's when they go see Brother McCarter. Right, Brother Clay? That is their goal in life. Not go off to get go to college, not to get married, not to have a home, have a family, have a steady job. Their goal is to stay out of juvie. There is no godliness going on in our school system. Well, there was at one time, but now we have a famine. This famine is slowly eating away at our families also. There used to be a day that it was a shame to be divorced. It was a shame to cheat on your spouse. It was a shame to have to be a one-parent family now. That becomes now the norm. Why? Because I think God is slowly being taken away. And just like we saw here in Amos, the Word of God is being pulled away from us. Amos's prophecy is coming to true in this, what I think is the greatest nation in the world. Now, you know, you think about, there was a time that you, without any effort, you could come across the Word of God. You would see it all over the place. I mentioned TV. You know, I grew up watching shows like Andy Griffith. Now, Andy wasn't a perfect Christian, I don't think. But it was still, you didn't have to worry about a bunch of language and, you know, inappropriate dress and fooling around. I also watched the Waltons. Anybody remember the Waltons? We used to joke that the barn would burn every other week. Younger guys don't know what I'm talking about the Waltons. But it was a good, wholesome show. You know, the Brady Bunch. You know, six kids in a house. Kind of a, you know, unusual, non-traditional family. But, you know, the parents didn't have to deal with disrespecting children. You know, the house always looked pretty well. I know that's Hollywood. But I think it was more of a picture of what everyday America looked like compared to what it does today. Because there's no good anymore in our society. Second Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I think we're there. Paul's writing here to young Timothy thousands of years ago, but I think he's looking at America in 2018. This scripture reflects most of the religions in the United States today. And you know why this famine is so dangerous? How does it harm America? Well, you may ask, well, why do I care? Because whether you believe it or not, it is influencing us at South Norwood Baptist Church. You're out in the world 6 days a week. You come in here, you can't tell me you're not influenced by what you see, what you hear. And so we need to be on our guard at South Knollwood because there's a famine going on in our nation, a spiritual famine. The Word of God gives us three things that we can't find anywhere else. These three things are critical for our well-being as Christians. Number one, these are my three points. Number one, the Word of God is truth. Number two, the Word of God has power. And the Word of God brings salvation to man. Without truth, power, and salvation, we are messed up. And we're on our way to hell. So number one, the Word of God is truth. Psalm 119, verse 142 says, "Thy righteousness is as an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." The Bible is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Christ says in John 17, 17, it says, "Thy word is truth." So this book right here is absolute truth. It's black and white, not just the print. It's definite. It's absolute. There's no gray. There's no shades of gray. Monday night, because I knew Ruth wasn't going to be here, I had a commitment last night. So Ruth and I made some visits on Monday night. Had the opportunity to try to witness the grandmas that somebody had brought from VBS. Ruth was standing there talking to this lady, and her answer was, when Ruth asked her if she knew 100% sure that she's on her wave, and she goes, "Well, nobody can know that." If you believe the truth of God's word, that wouldn't be the right response. Amen. Because you can know 100% sure. 1 John 5, verse 13 says that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. But we don't live in a society that's black and white. We live in a society that's shades of gray. Why do they say things like, they don't know? I want you to follow the logic. With no absolute truth, there's no absolute right or wrong. And if you have no right or wrong, you have no sin. And if you have no sin, everything is okay. Because this book is convicting. If you believe this book, the truth of this book, it's going to step on your toes. It's going to tell you some things in your life you need to fix. And we don't like that. We don't like anybody telling us what to do. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah. If you're there in Amos, turn back a few pages. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Look with me in verse 15. Jeremiah 6 and verse 15. This is a sad estate. This is in Jeremiah's day. Now, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. But you can fast forward this now several thousand years and you can place yourself right here in Topeka, Kansas. Jeremiah 6, verse 15, it says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay." In other words, no. "They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they fell among them that fell. At the time that I visited them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Totally ignoring God's word. They were so sinful that they couldn't even blush at their wickedness. There was no shame in their wickedness. You see this all the time in our society today. Do you think the devil got any less aggressive from Jeremiah's days to today? No. I want you to know that there's a message that needs to be preached in America today. It's that we have the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God here. You're holding it in your lap. Whether you have the one Bible or if you have 14 Bibles or however many Bibles you have the perfect inspired Word of God. It is absolute truth. We don't have to question it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." It says all Scripture, not just the ones you like, not just the ones that you agree with, not just the ones that don't convict you, all Scripture. God would not and He could not lie. This book is absolute truth. It is truth. It alone decries that sin is still sin. I know that's not popular. I know the world doesn't want to accept that. They want to say, well, whatever I think is right is fine. God's word says different. If we have a famine in the land, a famine from hearing the word of God, we will not have truth. You saw it there in Amos. They could not find the hearing of the Word of God. So number one, the Word of God is truth. Number two, the Word of God has power. First of all, it has healing power. It has the power to heal physically. James 5, verses 13 through 15 says, "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall rise him up, and if he have committed sin, he shall be forgiven them." You know, just in the short time that Ruth and I have been here, members at South Knollwood Baptist Church, about 5 years, I can think of multiple people that have been saved. Mrs. Hancock was one of them. Did we not just pray Sunday? Pastor said selfishly praying that she wouldn't have cancer. Did God not answer our prayer? Hallelujah. You know, I talked to Mrs. Hall beforehand. I know several years ago Mrs. Hall dealt with migraines. Pastor and the officers prayed over her. They anointed her with oil. And by her testimony tonight, she said she hasn't even had a headache since then. Her husband's saying amen. Why don't you? That is healing power from the Word of God. I think about Lydia Wright, your niece, right? We prayed for several years. Lydia's what now, six, seven? Okay. I know Lydia's parents from my time in Manhattan, Kelly and Tanya Wright. And there's their little girl dealing with leukemia. What's that? No, okay. But we prayed for her for multiple years. And here she is getting ready to turn 6 years old. Scan after scan after scan have been clean. That didn't happen by accident. It happened by the power of God and the prayer of His people. Now, it's unfortunate Mrs. McGee fell. But you know, a few months ago, Pastor stood in this pulpit and he said he didn't think Mrs. McGee had a week to live. And you know, minus tonight, I think the McGees have been more faithful than some of you have been to church lately. Maybe she has an appreciation for what God did for her. But those are just some examples of people at South Norwood Baptist Church or people that we know of that we have prayed for and God has healed. Because His power can physically heal. You know, I'm amazed when you're dealing with some ailment and you don't tell anybody. I don't know who it was, but somebody recently had some sort of problem and pastor had to find out through Facebook. Do you think our pastor cares enough to pray for us? I'd say yes. I don't think he's up here on Wednesday night just filling out his prayer list for looks. I believe he actually cares about us. But if we don't let him know, the man of God can't even pray and intercede for us. Unfortunately, I think some of us go to God in prayer as our 911. It's a last resort. Well, all my remedies didn't work. Well, the doctors didn't help. I better go to God. Why don't we go to God first? He's better than any chemo treatment. He's better than any surgery, better than any radiation. I want God on my side. It's His power that's going to heal. Oh, he said, well, the doctors didn't. No, God just used the doctors as an instrument in His hands. Think about, where did we get all the medicine we've got? You don't think God had a hand in creating that? So God's Word has a power to physically heal. God's Word has a power to spiritually heal. There's nothing better than a child of God getting their heart right with God. Realize repentance is spiritual healing. Repentance is turning. Like when you're going the wrong way and something gets your attention, like the Holy Spirit, and you turn, that's repentance. And repentance is spiritual healing. Acts 3, verses 19 through 21 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began." Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came to save us, to forgive us of our sins? That's spiritual healing. We all deserve to split hell wide open because we're sinners. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have spiritual healing tonight. I think about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Look how messed up his life was. It wasn't until the Jew boys there in the pigsty that God got his attention. But fortunately, he came to himself, the Bible says, and Jesus quoted in verse 18 of Luke chapter 15, Christ says, "And I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." He repented of his sins and went back to the Father. That's a picture of going back to God. But some of us today are spiritually sick. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Sometimes we get so much head knowledge that we think we know the right way to do things. And so a problem comes in our life, we want to try to solve it ourselves. Why don't we go to God first? Here in Isaiah chapter 55, look with me starting in verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." So it's alluding to the fact that there may be a time that he may not be found, right? "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Why is it when we have problems in our life, we want to try to solve them? This scripture right here in Isaiah tells us that our ways are not as good as God's ways. You know, when trouble comes in your life, do you often see it coming? Many times not. You ever had a car accident? Anybody ever had a car accident? Did you see it coming? God did. God knew exactly what was going to happen. And so why is it when we have troubles in our life, we try to solve them always ourselves rather than going to an all-knowing, all-loving, all-caring God? We kind of mess things up when we try to do it our way. 1 John 1, verse 8 through 10, 1 John 1, 8 through 10 says, "And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For we say that we have not, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." We have a perfect word of God that wants to not just heal us physically, but also wants to heal us spiritually. And third, the word of God wants to heal us mentally. Turn back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The setting here is Christ just healed the man that was possessed with the demons. He takes those spirits out, puts them into the swine. They run off the hill. On our trip to Israel about a year and a half ago, I got to see that hill, not far from the Sea of Galilee. But that's the setting here in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, start with me in verse 37. Luke 8, verse 37 says, "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about beseeched him to depart from them." They want Jesus to leave. "For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship, and he returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to thy own house and show how great things God has done unto thee.' And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." This man was healed mentally. He didn't have a physical affliction. He didn't have a physical affliction. He had a mental affliction. And just like this man had some demons that he was dealing with, I think we deal with demons ourselves. I don't know what goes on in your life when you're away from South Norwood Baptist Church, but some of you may have an addiction. You may be addicted to drugs. You may be addicted to pornography. You may be addicted to alcohol. Whatever it may be, God can free you from those things. Fortunately, I didn't have those specific things, but you know what? I had baggage in my life when I got saved, and praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, I don't have to deal with those anymore. And you can have victory too. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God doesn't put anything on us that we cannot handle. So why do we give in to it? You know, there used to be a thing about, well, the devil made me do it. No, you did it. You made a choice. You made a choice to be here tonight. Thank you for doing that. You made the right decision. But you may face some temptation tonight. You may face some temptation at work tomorrow. And God provides a way for us to escape. But if we're going to do it in our own strength and our own ability, we're going to lose, because we are no match for the devil. We're no match for the world. We're no match for our own flesh. We need the power of God. Amen. So not only does the Word of God heal physically, spiritually, and mentally, God's Word also has the power to change men's lives. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Make no mistake, God's Word is powerful. It's powerful enough to crush the strongest will. It's powerful enough to bring a giant of a man to his knees. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Nothing can affect man like the word of God can. Wives, let me ask you, Is your husband perfect? Would you like to see some changes in your husband? Husbands, would you like to see some changes in your wives? Clay and Felicia are debating it over there now. I've been married almost 29 years. You know, I come to a realization through a lot of stubbornness that I cannot change my wife. She is an Asian female, and they have a stereotype of not being the best drivers. If she was here, I would say the same thing. Because it's a joke about it. She's going to write a book about how to drive from an Asian female's perspective. But I still have not learned my lesson. As we drive, sometimes I ask her to drive. She never volunteers to drive. But the few miles from our house to here, inevitably, I bite my tongue. But every so often, I don't bite it hard enough. And I will open my mouth. And the joke is, well, I'm trying to help you get better driving. She doesn't want my help. And I shouldn't be so stubborn about it. I just need to take it to the Lord. That's just a silly example. I could put up with her driving. Praise God, she hasn't got a ticket. She hasn't had an accident. So she's not that bad. But that's just a silly example. But do you want change in your marriage? Parents, are your kids everything that you want them to be and everything you think God wants them to be? But are you just beating your head against the wall trying to get your kids to change? You know, if you want change in your marriage, you want change in your home, you want change out of your kids, why don't you take it to the Lord? Because He knows exactly what's frustrating you, and maybe it's just tell you, just relax, it's okay. You know, after all, my wife will remind me sometimes, she goes, you're the one that asked me to marry you. So it started with my mistake. But, you know, if we introduce the Word of God in our homes, we might have better homes. Husband and wives, do you pray together? How often do you read the Bible together? Do you have a time with your children, a family devotion time, a family altar time? We didn't do it every single night, every year. But we did it a good portion of the time for when our children were at home. And I don't think it hurt us at all. Our boys, to the glory of God, it turned out, I think, pretty well, in spite of having two goofed up parents. But I think it's because they saw mom and dad loved God, and we weren't just Christians at church. We tried to be Christians 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365. But if you just ask God to help you, God's Word can change lives. Number three, and finally, the Word of God brings salvation to men. I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, and so I'm trusting you've trusted Christ as your Savior, but how many of you know somebody that's not saved? Okay. The answer is God. The answer is the Word of God. I think sometimes we try to win our family or friends through our lifestyle. Lifestyle evangelism is nowhere in the Bible. We have to be confrontational. We have to present the Word of God. The greatest gift that we have given to us is salvation, but it's presented to us in the Word of God. How did you get saved? It wasn't some little magical spirit. Somebody may have taken out a gospel tract. Somebody may have taken out a New Testament. Somebody may have preached to you. But you heard the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit pulled you towards Christ, realizing you were lost and on your way to hell. Turn your Bibles to 1 John. Excuse me, not 1 John, John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, start with me in verse 1. John 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Notice that's a capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Now skip down to verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's this Word it's talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. Because Christ was the physical manifestation of the very thoughts and ideas of God the Father. We get to have Jesus Christ because we have this word. Jesus is and was and is the living word of God. That ought to give us a little bit more appreciation and love for the Bible you're holding tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2 says, hath in those last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Because we have the Bible, we are hearing directly from God. Prayer is we talking to God, reading his word, he's talking back to us. We don't live in a society now or a time where we hear an audible voice back from God. We know there's examples of that in the Bible. But when God finished the 66 books of the Bible, the canon of Scripture was complete. We don't need another revelation. We have the complete, inspired word of God. Husbands and wives, if you come home from work and one spouse is talking, and the other one is like ignoring, how healthy a relationship is that? Not very good, is it? Well, how is it that God is talking to us in his word, and sometimes we never talk back? And if we talk to him, do you think he might talk back to us? God knows exactly what you're facing today. He knows exactly what you're going to face tomorrow and the next day. And I don't think there's any accident that when you pray and say, God, I've got this challenge ahead of me, I've got this trial I'm in right now, that God shows us some scripture exactly the right place at the right time. As simple as when pastor texts me and says, Brother McCurry, will you preach for me? I say, God, what do you want me to preach? The next morning, God showed me, as clear as day, that I need to preach about a famine in the land. And I praise God that he's still speaking to me. I mean, he spoke to us by Mrs. Hancock not having cancer. But in conclusion, do you recognize the truth? Do you want the power of God to be real in your life? Are you hungry or thirsty for the Word of God? I think tonight we need to devour, we need to appreciate, we need to love, we need to obey this book that we have. It is a treasure. It's truth, it's power, and it's salvation for us. Why would we choose to neglect it? Why would you want to perpetuate having a famine in the land? I can't fix all of Topeka, but hopefully I can influence South Knollwood Baptist Church. And if our church is strong enough, we might just have an impact on this city. And if we have an impact on this city, we might just have an impact on this state. And this state might have an impact on this nation. And I've said it before, and I truly believe it. The answer is not what's in the White House. The answer is in the church house. Amen. As God's people, we need to get in love with God's word. So why are we neglecting it? Why are you allowing to have a famine? There is a famine in our land. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. If you'd stand with me. But if God spoke to you tonight and showed you maybe an area that you've allowed a famine to come into your life, maybe there's a famine in your home, why don't you do business with God tonight? We don't need music. But if you've experienced a famine, many praying right there in your seat, you can come around this altar if you choose. But our country is a mess. I don't want our homes to be a mess. I don't want our church to be a mess. I want to be pleasing to God. But if we have a famine in our land, a famine in our church, a famine in our families, it's not pleasing to God. We need to beg God to help us to fall in love again with his perfect, inspired book.